So do you ever feel like life has you on a leash?
Well, you know, one could call it a uniform.
Every position has a uniform.
Yeah, I honestly had that written down as my quote.
That was the only one that I have.
Oh, so good. Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Ah, it's Karina.
And Clark.
Welcome to It's Always.
It's hot in here. Welcome to It's Hot in Here.
It's fucking hot. Yeah. I can set up a fan if you want to.
Nah, I'll have to remove it in post.
Oh,
I'd rather
right.
sweat.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to It's Always Spooky.
It's Always Spooky.
Just pretending to sneeze on. Today, we're going to be doing a fan submission, right?
I think so. Oh, I don't remember who, but...
Well, if you...
Got to be one of our four fans.
I was going to say. If you recommended this movie, shout out to you. We're going to be doing 2020's Caveat.
Yeah.
Caveat, I actually found out from just a little bit of trivia before we get started, because it's not a spoiler. But Caveat comes from the phrase Caveat Emptor, which means buyer beware.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe if you're informed of several red flags while you're doing something, you should not do it. You should heed the caveat.
You should heed the red flags. The red flags are there for a reason for you to use them. Maybe it's just the being polite. It's a plot hole.
Couldn't be in America.
So Caveat was directed and written by Damian McCarthy.
Okay.
Damian McCarthy also did 4 years later Oddity, which is also on Shudder. And that's actually a pretty good movie.
I've heard that one's really good.
That one's actually pretty good. We should definitely cover it at some point. So I had to credit that there. He also did 2010's He Dies at the End.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of any of the other works that he had done. But if I remember it correctly, Damian McCarthy is like a YouTube director.
Oh, okay.
Most of his work you can find for free on YouTube.
Oh, sick.
But I didn't, and most of them are like shorts. So this was like his first... like jump in making a full feature film.
Okay.
Stars Ben Kaplan plays Mo Barrett. Johnny French plays Isaac. Leela Sykes plays Olga. And then I put Inma Pavan plays Mother.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all that I had down.
I felt like those were the important ones.
Yeah. I feel like the dad is shown like once.
Yeah, that one time.
Yeah.
I mean, literally that one time. So, yeah, those are the ones that I thought were the most prominent.
But what was the dog's name?
I know, it's just dog.
Yeah.
Really pretty dog, though.
Really pretty dog.
I don't think there's a title card for this movie.
No, I don't remember seeing one.
I don't have one written down. Same with the tagline.
Yeah. I didn't see one anywhere.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if this was... a foreign film. I remember when I looked it up on IMDb, I was like, it didn't have a tagline on the IMDb page. And so I was like, oh, I'll just look for the movie poster. Because sometimes the movie poster will have some sort of like tagline on it.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Or I remember if it did, it was in a different language.
Oh, okay.
Here, I'll pull it up for you real quick. It's the one with the bunny on it.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a tagline on the poster.
It's a cool looking poster though.
It is a cool looking poster.
It kind of looks like, it's got the bunny. Like, it's just actually just one half of the bunny's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has Caveat, and it looks like Caveat was like carved into like a wall.
Yeah.
So we could use that, I think, as the title card.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the tagline, there isn't one. There isn't one listed on IMDb, and there also isn't one in any of the posters that I looked at.
Okay.
So... I also had budget. Budget, I didn't know what the currency was here, but it estimated 250,000 GBP.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
it's pounds?
Pounds,
yeah.
British pounds. Gross worldwide was about 78K.
Yeah.
I don't know what that equates to, but I felt like British money was pretty similar to ours, but I don't fucking know.
Oh, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I only speak in freedom units.
That's it. Let's see here. What else do we need? Did you want to do any themes?
Yeah. I wrote down three. Manipulation, entrapment, and supernatural.
And supernatural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the plot summary I'll read here from IMDb.
Oh, I wrote one.
Oh, that's right.
Well, okay. So I wrote one that was me just letting feelings out about this movie. Yeah. And then I wrote one that's actually legitimate.
Oh, sick. Okay.
Yeah. Should I share both?
Obviously share both. Yes.
Okay. So when I was initially writing all of my notes for this movie and getting all the structure together, I was trying to come up with a spoiler-free synopsis that wasn't just me being a dickhead. But all that could come out was a stupid, dumb idiot ignores a multitude of red flags accepting the task of babysitting his landlord's mentally ill niece in an isolated home. Let's refine that a little bit.
Yep.
And make it a little more kind.
A little nicer.
Having lost his memory and fallen on hard times, Isaac accepts an offer from his landlord to babysit a family member in their remote residence.
Love.
I'll give him a little bit of credit.
Right.
He lost his memory. He's not all there.
And that was the thing that I was really missing, was just the like exposition of why he would be so desperate for that money.
Yeah.
That he would just say yes, right?
Yeah.
That's all I needed, truly. That I feel like that was the only thing that was really missing was the motivation.
Yeah.
Of being like, okay, I guess, because I really need it.
And in the Wikipedia page, it says like a vagrant accepts blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, where are they pulling these things from? Because I was seeing so many different parts or so many different reviews and everything where it was talking about like how, oh, Mo is his uncle or like random little shit like that. And I'm like, but Mo's Olga's uncle. I think they're confusing people here. And then there was one where it was like, oh, well, he and Mo were friends. And I'm like, yeah, but he's also like his landlord. And then another one was like, no, they're just acquaintances. And I'm like,
what
are people watching a different movie and they're like getting more information than what we got?
I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. But yeah, the way that I took this movie was that Isaac and Mo knew each other, maybe weren't friends.
Yeah.
They seemed like they were friends. There was some sort of like brother situation too, wasn't there? Weren't they talking about a brother at some point?
Or, no, and there's a picture of Isaac and his brother.
Okay, and that's the thing that I'm kind of getting confused by. And
yeah.
So is it like a twin situation where like, the you know, or like a doppelganger situation, one got swapped out or one died or whatever. And then I was also wondering, I was like, did that brother exist? Did Isaac's brother exist? Or were we just thinking of Mo's brother, Olga's dad?
Yeah.
That was the brother they were both talking about. And that's just, those were the only kinds of like confusing things that brought down some of the thing, some of the quality and some of the scariness for me, was there was this equal part of like Isaac asking all of the right questions of like, wait a second, you didn't mention this. Wait a second, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Right. But then doing it anyways. And if there was something, he was on the run. He was being hunted by somebody.
Yeah.
He was fucking, they found him and he was homeless. Like even if they didn't even go with the acquaintance angle, but they just found him on the side of the road and he was desperate for money. But I'm sure that wouldn't have spun it for Mo. Like Mo wouldn't just leave like a random vagrant with his niece.
No.
That, I don't know.
I don't get it at all. I understand why now, like having watched the movie, why it was that Mo is like, no, he needs to go do this.
Right.
Like I get that now, but there, all of this prior conversation that we've just had about this movie goes to show that like this movie takes so many swings and lands none of them. So many different plot points are introduced that are never tied up or there's no background information. There's like, you get random little pieces of like why it is that Isaac is there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get any of the other things that they mention. Like, yeah. I don't understand what the bunny is. Like, it's kind of a dowsing rod that only works when it wants to.
Yeah.
But it's also supposed to like only work when the dead mom wants it to.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't work when dead mom is alive.
Absolutely.
But dead mom is supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
So was she alive the whole time?
Yeah. Was like, she bewitched? Was this a witch situation?
Yeah.
Apparently she was mad, but like,
yeah,
we don't know what, we have no idea what's wrong with Olga. Why does she just sit in the corner with her hand? Like she's schizophrenic, right? But like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What is happening? Maybe it was just to build tension. It was to make you think like, oh my God, there's so many things happening in this movie that I'm not going to get the answers to.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted you to leave with questions that weren't answered. But I even wonder, like, the original plot point of sending Isaac in the first place to kill dad, to trap dad in the basement, And then when they show that scene, because then I thought they were going to go this route of like, oh yeah, Isaac's a piece of shit. And he went and he locked out in the basement. But then they have this whole scene of him going and writing the beware note to Mo Barrett's trying to kill you. And yeah. then going and seeing that the door was already locked. And then going down in there and then finding dad already shot in yeah. the head with a crossbow bolt. And so it's like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, because it's like, and even the fucking leash thing. Like, they say, okay, they got it because grandma was a sleepwalker.
Yes, and she didn't want to walk into the lake.
Yeah, she didn't want to walk into the lake. Mm-hmm. Sick. Then they also make a brief mention of, oh, Olga's terrified that somebody's going to come into her room at night, so you have to wear this leash thing. But then also, at some point, dad is in the leash.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and Olga, why was dad in the leash?
Right. And Olga briefly mentioned that. It almost seemed like mom made dad wear that as some sort of punishment.
Yeah.
And then when he finally had enough and he was like, give me the key, she swallowed it.
Yeah.
There was like that whole scene. So funny. Like, we're talking so much about this movie. I love it. I love it so much. Like, I yeah. love the banter back and forth.
Yeah.
And
like, I love that this is what's happening as a result of this movie, because I don't like this movie.
Yeah.
But,
talking about yeah, it. Yeah.
But I like the talking about it. But also, if our podcast history has told me anything, when I don't really like something, that's when it's my best work.
What do you want me to do about it?
So
right, true. Yeah. No, that's definitely true. Oh yeah. my God. Okay. So let's get into it.
I can
it.
Talk shit for sure.
For sure.
So for lore, I just wrote, fuck, I don't know. Like, I don't.
You have nothing to go on.
No.
Mental illness?
Yeah.
Schizophrenia?
Yeah, maybe.
Lying?
Yeah.
I just.
Like, yeah. BDSM? Because, like, that vest that looks oddly. Harness. Yeah.
Although, I don't know if you noticed this on the second watch. I was looking at this harness, and it looked like it was so easy to take off.
Yeah.
It had fucking buckles on the shoulders.
Yeah.
You
could have literally just, like, whoop.
Anyways.
God.
But, you know, I glossed over it the first time we watched it because I love leather work. So I was like, oh, man, that harness looks so cool. And then the second time I was like, what the fuck?
Also,
what the fuck, Isaac?
Also, okay. So Mo had to have known that that harness couldn't reach the bathroom. So what did he expect Isaac to do? What did dad do? What did grandma do?
Oh, there were so many things.
Like,
you were supposed to be there for 5 days. You're not supposed to use the bathroom. You're not supposed to change your clothes. You're not supposed to bathe.
Yeah. No part of that house looked like a place that you should eat.
Right? Like, there was no food.
There was no food.
There was no food.
Like, what were you going to do?
But the planning that went into this. And that's the thing, too, is like, there was no exposition beforehand for, it was just like, what the fuck, Isaac? Why would you sleep on the way there?
Yeah.
So you don't know where you are. Why wouldn't you tell anybody where the fuck you were going? Although yeah. maybe like that again, if they phrased it as he didn't have anybody and yeah. he didn't have a cell phone and he didn't have any money to buy any food. And he just was relying on his friend being a good person and
yeah.
giving him all of these things. And it's just like, and it was like this dilapidated fucking house too. This
yeah.
house was fucking falling
and nobody's
apart.
Even taking care of the fucking dog. Like,
I don't even know how that dog was still alive.
No.
Cause Olga didn't look like she cared.
Yeah. And so then my other thing, too, is like,
bitch,
this movie made me feel like I'm an idiot because like it, watching people's reviews of it and like the discussions that were going on Reddit and like how good the score is on Rotten Tomatoes and everything. I'm like,
it's like, am I stupid? Was,
am I high? And I don't
I
know.
Dumb.
Like what?
We didn't watch. The
did
right
somebody
movie.
Watch a different movie? Mm-hmm. I don't. I feel like I am a fraud. I'm like, I don't know shit about movies because apparently everybody else thinks this is a masterpiece. And I'm like, I don't have to have everything answered for me. I'm not somebody that's like,
no, right.
Please show me,
lay it
narrate
all out.
Everything for me right. so that I know exactly how every loose end is tied. I don't even need the ends to tie.
Yeah.
But I need something.
You need something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it leaves you feeling kind of frustrated.
Yeah.
And flustered because you end it and you're like, well, what the fuck? And what the fuck? And what the fucking fuck? And
yeah.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
Faves? Scaries?
Yeah. I have one for each of them.
Okay. I've got some for, wait, I have two honorable mentions for favorite, but I don't have a favorite. I have two quotes, and then I have two honorable mentions and a scariest.
I have one favorite, one scariest, and two quotes.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's do faves first.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll just go for it.
Do it.
So my favorite scene is, this is the first night that Isaac is staying in this dilapidated house on this isolated island without a boat, and he can't swim.
And in his leash.
Yeah, on his leash. He's in his leash. In this bulky leather vest that he can't take off, that he has to lay in a bed and be comfortable and go to sleep. Anyway, so he decides that he's going to lay down and go to sleep. And there's this picture in his room, right? So picture's looking at him. He doesn't like it. But he's like, whatever, I'll just roll over. So he rolls over. And then he hears a little thunk.
Yeah, he just hears it fall over. Yeah. And it's super dramatic and loud.
Yeah. And so he looks over, and now picture is on the ground.
Right.
And so he picks picture back up. And
I'm sorry. There is a slight, not a slight detail, but I think it is important. When he first was about to go to sleep, and he looks at this picture, and he's like, fuck that picture. He gets up, and he turns it to the wall,
yeah,
and rests it there, and then he goes and he lays down. And so when it falls over, it's face down again.
There's something though even before that.
Oh, because really?
Initially the picture's on the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So then he lays down. He hears the thunk. Picture has fallen on the floor.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then he sees that the picture's on the floor, and he's like,
"The fuck?
That's a creepy picture."
Right. That picture.
Yeah, don't like that picture. Mm-hmm. There's eyes that are staring at me. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go turn it so that it's not facing me.
Right.
And so then he's like, okay, yeah, that'll solve the problem. And so then he goes and, you know, honks new, honks new. He doesn't fall asleep. But he hears like some shuffling essentially at first.
Right.
And he looks over, and I think the picture's turned toward him again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he like goes and turns it back around, goes and lays down, and then he hears a thunk, and he looks over, and the picture is face down on the ground.
Right. Which shouldn't so, be. Yeah.
The reason why this is my favorite scene is because just take the fucking picture out of the room. Like,
just take it. Yeah. Just fucking
get rid of
just
it.
Just fucking kick it down the
like,
hallway.
Throw it outside. Uh-huh. Like, you take got a window, it right? as far away as you can. Huck it in the basement. Obviously, nobody cares about this house.
True.
Like,
yeah, nobody gives a shit about this picture.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck the picture. Yeah. Also, you don't know shit. Nothing happens about the picture. You don't know why the picture is haunted. You don't know if it's just mom pulling some shit, but also mom's not dead. Somehow. She's dead.
She's dead, but kinda. Not. But her eyes are still wet.
Yeah. Another thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite scene.
That was one of my honorable mentions for scariest. So I appreciated that scene, honestly.
It was a good scene.
It was creepy. It was fucking creepy.
Yeah. Did it lead to more unanswered questions? Yeah. But.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was creepy for creepy factor's sake. Right?
Yeah. What are your honorable mentions for favorites?
So for favorites, I had the never ending add-ons. Oh, it's on an island, and I know you can't swim. Oh, you got to wear this Bondism harness and chain that's to the basement.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no food in the house. Oh, I just forgot. I neglected to tell you that my, you know, niece is schizophrenic and she really doesn't like people. So you have to wear this harness that doesn't allow you to go to the bathroom. And that was one of my honorable mentions for favorite was Isaac was asking all the right questions. He's just like, why can't you go watch her? And you know, I don't really like her.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they get to the island. He's like, wait a second. Where's the house at? And Mo just like points to the island in the middle of the lake. He's like, you didn't say anything about being on an island. And Mo says, yeah, I did. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure you fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Because I can't swim. And I would not have said yes if you would have told me it was on an island.
Yeah. And Mo's like, well, I told you it was isolated.
Well, and he also says like, well, you already came all the way out here. So why don't you just like go check it out first and then you can make your decision then.
Right. Yeah.
And then they get to the house. And they're walking around and they're doing the tour and blah, blah, blah. And they meet creepy Olga on the floor who doesn't get up. She just stands with her hands over her eyeballs and her like nose
and she's
is bleeding.
Always bleeding.
She's always bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how Mo comes back around and he's like, oh, it's just like, just one more thing I forgot to tell you. It's not a big thing, really. So Olga's grandmother used to sleepwalk. And so in order to make sure she didn't walk into the lake, they used to have her wear this like harness thing. And he goes and he grabs it and It's this fucking like full vest that covers your whole chest.
Yeah.
It goes over the front and it's got a big fucking bolt that goes in the front of it, and then it locks with a padlock. And it's attached to this big heavy chain that just goes to wherever, because Mo doesn't totally neglects to tell him. I'm surprised during his house tour he didn't see it. I wonder if he kind of like he hit it, he tucked it away on like the basement steps.
He's yeah.
Like, we'll save that for the end. Yeah. That'll be our little secret. I'm going to forget about that till the very end of the
yeah.
tour.
Yeah.
And so Isaac looks at it, and I'm going to say my favorite quote here. He's like, so you just, and Olga's kind of afraid of, you know, people attacking her in the middle of the night. So, you know, I'm just going to have you put this on. And Isaac's like, I'm not putting that on. And Mo says, well, it's a uniform. Every job has a uniform. And Isaac says, that's not a uniform. That's a leash. And I'm not putting it on.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad that that was one of the quotes that you had down too, because the only other quote that I had is tied to that scene.
Oh.
And it's not anything that is said in the movie. It was you and I watching the movie, and right. I was going, oh, and another thing.
Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And one more thing.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, yeah, the lake that's surrounding the island is infested with alligators, so you just don't even want to leave, like, the perimeter of the front yard, which is why your chain is so short.
Yeah.
Convenient, right?
Yeah. Also, yeah, there is a boat, but I'm taking it with me, so it doesn't really matter that there's a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Oh, and if you have any problems, the only person that you can call is me.
Yeah.
So like, which is funny because that's not true. I'm sure he could have literally called anybody, and I don't know why he didn't call the police.
Yeah. Because
that's what I would fucking do. But you can't tell them where you are.
But also, if you need to call somebody, sorry, the only phone is in Olga's room, and your leash doesn't go that far.
You're not allowed in there because she doesn't want people attacking you.
Yeah, you're not allowed in there. So even if she does consent to you going in there, sorry.
You got to find other methods.
Yeah, you got to try to get her to consent to opening your vest.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, yeah.
Once or you get that thing off, are you going to put it back on?
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
We could have just undone the buckles at the top. But yeah. So yeah, that was my the never ending add-ons, because I found it funny after a while. And especially because Isaac just kept going, okay. I was like, put the vest on.
He was asking all the right questions and giving all the wrong consent.
All the wrong answers.
Yeah.
All the wrong.
Yeah, he's asking the right questions, getting the wrong answers, and giving the wrong consent.
Yes.
Like, he's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, $200 a day sounds great.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
Yeah.
And then let's see here. Oh, no, that was my only honorable mention.
Okay.
Because my honorable mention, too, just says, it's just a run-on sentence here, right? It says, never ending add-ons. It's on an island. You got to wear this bondism harness, chained to the basement in bumfuck nowhere. But don't ask any questions.
Yeah. And there's also some foxes. The only other things on this island is a family of foxes. And they sound like teenagers screaming at night.
But don't worry about it.
Have you ever heard a teenage girl scream at night? What the fuck?
What the fuck kind of question is that?
Yeah.
Right?
Just alone. That's all.
Yeah, and that was another thing. They didn't really explain the foxes. I mean, other than, like, there is truly just a family of foxes, and that's what they sound like. Like, that's just biology and true.
Yeah, and then my other question is, why mention it if you're not going to set up something that sounds like girls screaming?
Because
I don't remember any point throughout this movie where I was hearing girls screaming.
No.
You hear a little bit of, like, weird sound coming out of the intercom system.
Right.
But like, you never hear Olga scream.
Nope.
That's the closest to a teenage girl they have there.
Definitely.
Like, that was something that was mentioned and it felt so superfluous. Like, there was no reason.
Yep. I 100% agree, because you could have gone like a very dark route, right? You could have made like Mo Lord Isaac there to be in some experiment, right? Or he could have lured him there to like kill him for whatever reason, but he was like torturing girls there.
Yeah,
that was the cover he was using, or whatever. I mean, whatever.
But he just mentions it so that, like,
super casual, so that, like, if you hear weird noises at night, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's what I had for faves. I didn't have a favorite, and I'm looking back at the movie. Just anything that like made me chuckle or laugh. I mean, there were a couple of good genuine scares that we're going to talk about.
There were.
I did appreciate. But honestly, I found myself laughing out loud the most from just like those never ending, like, oh, and I forgot to tell you one other thing. And it's just like, oh my God, like what is happening right now?
Yo. Oh, and also Jesus has come back and he is going to land at this house. The rapture is happening currently. That's actually why I'm putting you in this vest, because I'm not letting you ascend. You're going to stay here. You're going to watch Olga.
Some knowing situation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, and another thing. The dog hasn't been fed in a really long time, but you have no food and you can't reach it.
And so, like, don't let him off his chain or he might eat you.
Yeah. Yeah. The dog also hates gingers. Hates gingers.
Hates them. With passion,
yeah.
Right? It's actually very racist towards gingers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that's like the one highlight of this movie. I mean, there are a couple highlights. I'm not trying to shit on this movie, but like the dog was a highlight for sure. The dog was super cute. Do you want to jump into scares before trivia?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay. That's fine.
My scariest scene, which I'm sure is probably both of ours, it's scariest scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, things have escalated, right? He has been shot with a bolt from Olga's crossbow, Olga's dad's crossbow that Olga is now
in his
wielding.
Fucking leg.
Yeah, in his leg. He has cut the ends of the bolt so that he can still walk around or crawl around. Crawl around seems to be the mode of transportation that he decides to use, because he finds in the back of Olga's closet this little hidey hole that he can crawl into. And he gets into like the guts of the house, right?
Yeah.
So he's in the house's guts and he's going through it. And there's this one section, or there's this one scene where the camera pans over. He has just the light of a flashlight. And the camera pans over and you see mom at the end of the crawl space. And she's only there for like a brief second and then pops back down.
And she just like pops back down.
It was such an effective jump scare. Such an effective jump scare that, like, the first time I saw it, I was actually like,
yeah. I did the same thing when we were watching it. I remember we watched it last week. That was one that, like, I went, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, that was not necessary.
No.
I mean, it was necessary because it was a good scare.
It
but
was.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just that like, oh, you bitch.
Yeah. Like, it takes a lot for a jump scare to really get me nowadays.
Yeah.
And that one was so effective that I don't think, like, the audio doesn't even peak or anything like that. It is just such a casual pan. And then she's there. And they did a really good job with making mom look scary.
Yes, they did. And I think the scariest part, too, is just that feeling of like Isaac stuck in this very like tight claustrophobic space.
Yeah.
And you're imagining that when they pan, it's him panning and seeing that.
Yeah.
And then you just know that like he eventually crawls down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh.
He's so casual about it.
He wanted to get out.
Yeah.
And
he's like, well, you know, I know that mom exists in this little hole in the drywall down here. So that must be the way out.
And that's the thing is like, it just because that was one of my honorable mentions for scariest, because it was very, very scary. But that's another plot hole that they put in there. Was it delirium that caused Isaac to see it? Or like, is this fucking haunted? Or is there some occult shit going on? Why was mom so animated and only killed Mo at the end?
Yeah. Why was mom both alive and dead with no explanation?
Yeah. For what plot device?
Yeah.
Right? Because I would have liked it if it was even for like a revenge plot device.
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, obviously she killed Mo at the end there. So yeah, I just wish there were more questions that were answered. Just slight threats, other than just this domestic abuse case, essentially of just two brothers who murdered their wife / sister-in-law because maybe she was abusive or because she was mad or for insurance money. We don't know.
No, we
they decided
no idea.
She needed to die, so they filled her with crossbow bolts and they walled her like Count of Monte Cristo. Cristo.
Count of Monte Cristo. Yeah. Count of Monte
chocolate chip
cookies.
But they like just put her behind some drywall, right? And they just said, oh, all right, she went missing. And then, you know, quickly, maybe a few months after that point, even though she was a pretty fresh body, fresh but not fresh.
Yeah.
Mo decided, oh, well, now I need to kill my brother because he knows too much. He knows that we murdered his wife and that wouldn't possibly come back to bite you because it would implicate him as much as it would you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish they would have also explained, like, was Mo the one who killed Dad? And like all of that stuff. And then if that was so, why the fuck did he bring Isaac out there?
Yeah.
Like, what was the plot device there?
Yeah, because one of the things that I'm confused about, and maybe somebody who likes this movie and thought it was a masterpiece can let me know.
I want to know. But I really, like, fucking want to know.
What I'm confused about is how the timeline of all of this happens, too. Yeah. Because it seems like Mo and Olga's dad killed the mom. However, there is a moment where Olga, I believe, says that mom shut the door behind Dad when he went down in the basement, and that's why he died.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And so I'm like, so then was that one of those moments where, like, mom was animated? Or does Olga know that mom is animated?
Yeah. Or is the timeline flipped?
Or is the timeline flipped?
Right.
Or what? Because, like,
right.
What? Who I need that laid door? Out a little better.
Yeah.
Who locked the door? Because you have to have a key to lock it.
Right.
So.
Right. It didn't just get blown closed in the wind.
Yeah.
Somebody had to close it and lock it with a key.
Yeah.
Right. That was the whole, that was one of the plot devices they were very descriptive about.
Yeah.
Is that somebody had to be intentional about it.
And so then it's like, so did Olga do it?
Yeah. And they don't really explain Olga's role in any of this either, other than growing up in the household.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how often was Dad or how often was Mo around? Right. Like,
yeah.
What sparked having to kill mom? What incident sparked having to kill her? And then what incident sparked for Mo to kill Dad? And then why did he bring Isaac out there?
Yeah.
Other than just to be a scapegoat.
Yeah.
To have somebody to blame or to have somebody to take the fall for it. But then he didn't take the fall for it, or maybe he did and we don't know, because apparently Isaac has memory loss, but we don't know what that's from.
Yeah. And so then you do find out that it looks like Mo pushed Isaac off of the balcony.
Okay.
So I think that's why he has the memory loss.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm wondering if the reason why Isaac is like, or Mo is like, Isaac has to go back out there is because he's like, what if his memory comes back?
It's like a loose end.
Yeah.
Right?
So he's like, I have to kill him to make sure. Yeah.
He made it look like an accident. And he's like, oh, well, Isaac will recover. And then as soon as he recovers, I'm going to find some way to lure him here and kill him because he knows too much.
And then it's also, is he at the same time trying to use, because, okay, so Olga is continuously going back to the house and staying there. I think because in the very beginning of the movie, they show that she finds her mom there. And so I'm like, who was supposedly missing?
Yeah.
And so she finds her mom. And so I'm like, okay, so then is he also using Isaac as a scapegoat for why mom is dead down there? Because now Olga knows where mom is.
Right. Right. And it's, if the police find out, it's like, okay, well, you need to point the fingers at somebody.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, so Isaac can be the fall for mom and the fall for dad.
Right.
But doesn't Olga know? Like,
it's so
is
weird.
He also going to kill Olga?
It's so weird. Yeah. Like, he somehow has, well, it seems like he has Olga under his thumb.
Yeah.
Right. Because, like, when he came, when it was just Isaac and Isaac was down, wait, was Isaac locked? Isaac was locked in something, or he was downstairs or something. I think he was in the crawl space with mom.
Yeah.
And Mo comes down and berates Olga, like, you fucking idiot. Like, I told you this is going to be a simple job or whatever. Like, so I think she's under his thumb. Like,
yeah.
She probably listens to what he says. That whole cover story of she keeps going back to the house was probably just that. It was just a cover.
Yeah. She was just a tool.
Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like it. Obviously, she had agency towards the end, but I think she was very subservient and also, like, mentally ill. So she kind of had that power over her.
That actually reminded me of one that would be an honorable mention for me for a scariest scene, but I'm curious if it's one of yours.
Well, my scariest scene, because you already did the creepy picture with the girl and the rabbit and then crawl space mom, my scariest scene was the first mom reveal.
Oh, okay.
Because it's when Isaac is like, they do that whole fucking shot where, like, he sees the hole and he goes up and he's like looking in it and he can't see anything. And so he goes back and grabs the flashlight and he shines the flashlight in and he sees crawl, like, just dead crawl space, and then fucking mom. And it's just like a...
I'll add an honorable mention post haste where there is. Okay, so when Isaac is down in the crawl space with mom,
mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh shit, I gotta like cut my way out of this."
Right, or I know.
So he's like, yeah. He's like gonna cut his way out of it, uh-huh. And then he sees mom,
and she's just and like, she's like staring at him.
Yeah, and so he puts a beanie over her head. And then starts going back again and doing his little trying to saw it. And then he looks back and there's just a hole in the beanie with mom's eye. That was pretty good.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were definitely a lot of scenes where they used mom as like the plot device for being scary. And it worked. I mean, it definitely worked.
Yeah.
But I wish there was some explanation for why she was able to do that. That's literally all I wanted. Or just like a hint. That she was into the occult. That's it.
Anything.
Anything.
The most annoying part of this for me, I'm snapping my book here. The most annoying part of this for me is that there is so much that's left unsaid in this movie, and I remember it so well. I have a shit memory, but I am recalling every part of this movie because of how mad it made me.
So fucking true. All right, well, you're going to laugh. I remember looking at the trivia for this movie, and I think there's two trivia.
Yeah, I think there's two trivia and three goofs.
And three goofs. So I'm reading all of them.
Yeah.
So when Isaac arrives at the island in the beginning of the movie, he brings no supplies or clothes for a five-day stay, and the boat is empty. So again, like, we had kind of talked about this, but if we had just heard something of, like, Isaac didn't have any money, he was, like, freshly released from the hospital.
Anything.
Any reason why he decided to do that, it was worth it to him. Or that he didn't bring any supplies with him.
Yeah.
Just anything. And then I actually said this at the beginning, but I'll read it here just for brevity's sake. Caveat is the Latin word for beware. It's part of the phrase caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. The meaning is that the buyer is responsible for checking thoroughly the products before making the payment. Also that the person must know what he's getting into.
And another thing.
One other thing. It's just really minor. Super minor.
It's
thing.
Really minor.
Oh, you just didn't even.
Yeah, it's just a hefty leather vest with a leash attached to it.
A fucking metal leash, yeah.
Yeah.
Incorrectly regarded as goofs. I don't know why this is incorrectly. Interesting. 48 minutes in, when Isaac is looking at the corpse in the basement through a hole in the wall, he shines his flashlight on his face. And when he shines the light on her eye, her pupil dilates. This did not happen to a corpse. Maybe it's an autopsy of Jane Doe situation.
Oh.
Right?
Oh. But also, Jane Doe still looked hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom looks gross, except her eyeballs.
Well. I caught this one. The leather harness Isaac is wearing has two large buckles right behind the shoulders. It looks like it would be easy for him to simply reach behind each shoulder, undo the buckles, and wiggle out of the harness. But instead, he concentrates on trying to break the chain.
Yeah.
The key on the corpse's necklace and the one in the flashback are clearly two different keys. One is round, the other one is rectangular.
Sure are two different keys.
But they work for the same lock.
Sure are.
All right, rating.
Okay.
Oh, so, weapons roster.
Yeah.
I had a shotgun, mm-hmm. Dad.
Yep.
Although it's not a shotgun, it's a crossbow.
It's a crossbow.
So it's actually a crossbow. So crossbow killed both mom and dad.
Yep.
And then I have mom.
Dad's crossbow wound was like pretty gross.
It was gross. Yeah. So I'm going to say crossbow killed mom and dad. And then the only other person who died was Mo, who died by mom.
Yep. My only addition, which I'm going to select as my weapon, is claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia, definitely. I could also say maybe Olga, because she like broke Isaac's finger. That was kind of gnarly.
Yeah.
That
was a cute little. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Gave me Hush vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel also, like, okay, one more thing. One more thing. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention. There are so many fucking scenes in this movie where this son of a bitch is putting his hand in holes that he has no business.
No
putting
business.
His hand. Through so many situations that there could be a green room moment at any time.
There is an almost a green room moment
Yeah.
And he keeps doing it.
Who in their fucking right mind is like, oh, I see a dead woman through that hole. Let me put my hand in there. Oh, the person that I'm here watching that is obviously dangerous, and catatonic right now.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to put my hand through here.
Right.
Oh, she's already broken my finger. I'm going to put my hand through here again.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down because you literally just made me think, like, I do have a favorite scene. It's the scene when Isaac looks through the hole. He's in the bathroom. He's in the room right next to Olga's room. I don't know which room that I thought was the bathroom. He's in there and he's like punched that hole through her room.
Yeah.
And I believe, I want to say it's the second, or maybe it's the time when she breaks his finger. Because he reaches his hand through there multiple times.
Yeah,
right?
He uses it to make a phone call.
Yeah, and he doesn't grab the fucking key that's literally right next to it. But anyways, my favorite scene, if I can choose it right now at this moment, is when Isaac decides to reach his hand through this hole and it shows it from the other perspective and Olga's just standing there looking at his hand,
Yeah.
Looking for the phone, right? That I remember laughing out loud, just being like, oh my God, bro.
Yeah.
And then her just coming over and just like grabbing his hand and then just like breaking one of his fingers.
He's already seen her with a crossbow. She's already aimed it at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, this will be fine.
This will be fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just like blindly, just gingerly, just reach your hand through this and just, you know, grope around. She's probably not watching you or anything.
No, she's probably not paying attention at all.
She didn't hear you, like, there is be messing with the wall.
There are so many activities in her room that she has to pay attention to. She's not paying attention to you at all.
Right. No shit. God. Do you want to do your rating first?
Sure. So for my weapon, I chose claustrophobia.
Ah, sick.
For quality, okay. I'm going to give this a 2. Okay.
For
quality.
Quality.
The reason being, it is a beautifully shot movie. And the effects are done well.
Mm-hmm.
The color grading's great. The jump scare was really effective. And it does take some really decent cinematography to be able to pull a jump scare off well. Yeah. Especially one that'll scare both of us.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
However, it loses 3 points. Because of, just reference all the rest of this conversation.
Yeah, just like, look, just go back to the beginning of this episode and then start it.
Back to the beginning. So yeah, I'll give it 2 just for the work that was put in.
And it was a debut film too. Like some people hit the ground running and they're bangers. Others, you got to fall before you stand.
Yeah.
Right. So like giving it credit where it's credit's due.
For sure. For scariness, I'll actually be fairly generous with this.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give it probably like a 3.5.
For scare?
Because it had a very effective jump scare. The scene with the hole in the beanie and her eye looking through it, that was good.
That was good.
Mom was scary looking, and it was probably also playing into the Uncanny Valley sort of situation where it was like she looks dead, but she looks alive.
Right, and she's definitely moving.
Mm-hmm. The little bunny thing, while cute, is also creepy.
Yeah.
Like it has some effective things.
It provided a good atmosphere, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even if it was kind of like almost satire at times where you're just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like nobody would say yes to this.
No.
Unless they were desperate.
And I think the part of the reason why it does lose a little bit of scare points for me is because of how detached I was from it, from all of those factors that we mentioned before, where it was like, if some things made more sense, I would have been more invested in it and it would have gotten under my skin a little more.
100%. Yeah. A lot of times scary things for me is how realistic they are in terms of like how easy would that be for that to happen to somebody that I know or to me?
Yeah.
Right. And like you'd have to be there, you'd have to go down quite a few pitfalls in order to find yourself in this kind of situation.
Yeah. I would like to think that even if I had suffered a terrible accident and lost all of my memory, that I still would not have agreed to any of that.
You still, would have some sort of self-preservation to be like, yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah. I at least wouldn't have fallen asleep in the car on the way there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have stopped at the boat. I would have stopped at the boat and like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I don't really care about our friendship or tarnishing it.
Nope.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
And I'm not qualified for this.
Oh, my gosh. I did lose my memory along with forgetting that I don't give a fuck about your niece. So I'm going to get out of here.
For sure. I can literally go make money doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like a criminal.
No.
He probably could have gone and worked at Burger King.
And it was $200 a day. I make that. Go be a fucking barista.
Yeah.
Like.
And it was just like, if there was any reason, if we had any reason, he recently got out of prison. Like, if there was some exposition for why he would have agreed to do this. Because it wasn't just because, oh, he's my friend and I wanted to help him out.
Yeah. Even when they're having the conversation, the very first initial conversation where Mo is like, hey, I need somebody to go watch my niece, $200 a day, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
If he would have even just like slid a drink toward him or something like that, like showing that he maybe was drugged.
Sure.
Or like anything. Something like that. Anything.
Anything. That honestly, yeah.
And then for rewatchability, I'm going to give it a half a point because I do think that people should watch it. If not to hate it, like then it is at least pretty to look at.
It's not long.
It's not long.
It's not long.
It's God's given length.
Yep.
It always makes me feel weird to say that because I started it and I also don't believe in God.
You don't have to believe in God in order to use that phrase. It's fine.
Yeah. It's whatever. But yeah, you should watch it. It's pretty. There is an effective jump scare.
It's on Shudder.
Yeah, it's on Shudder.
Shudder. Like, you know,
Shudder's not expensive.
Don't rent it.
Yeah.
And if you like horror, Shudder's the way to go.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Mm-hmm. Terrifier's on there.
Yeah, there's
no, go watch Terrifier.
I know. I watch a lot of good shit on there.
Terrifier is my comfort movie when I'm out backpacking. That's what I put on to go to sleep at night.
Oh my God. Love.
Yeah. There is no villain more pussy than Art the Clown.
Right?
Yep.
Honestly, I normally watch YouTubers play video games to go to sleep.
That's a lot more healthy for your brain.
I doubt it. I mean, like last night I was listening to Markiplier play like some doppelganger game where like you're like a cashier at a general store and there's like these skinwalkers that might come into your business to buy things and like you ask them a series of questions to make them verify their identity.
Yeah.
And if you think they're a skinwalker, you blast them in the face with your handgun and then you clean up the blood afterwards.
I retract my statement.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not healthier for you.
No, right?
I would rather watch somebody get slit from lip to lip. All right. So, yeah, not a great rating on my part. What's yours?
For mine, my weapon is Crawl Space Mom because she fucks.
She does fuck.
She fucks. For scariness, I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Just for those couple of scares that it had in it because they were effective. But other than that, like it doesn't feel like a super terrifying movie. It's not very practical in terms of like it actually happening in real life. Quality, I did bump it up a little bit. I was going to give it a 1, but the more we were talking about it, I'm also giving props to it being like a debut film.
Yeah.
And so it just being kind of messy and like maybe you could have edited it a little bit more or maybe like they answered all of those questions, but it was just due to editing that it really sucked.
Yeah, or maybe we're just both fucking idiots.
We're both fucking idiots. We didn't watch the right movie.
Yeah.
So I gave it 2.5 Crawl Space Moms out of 5. And then for rewatchability, I give it a 1 out of 5. And that was purely because when we first watched it, we watched it in the back. It was a movie.
It does provide a really excellent opportunity for you and your friends to have some great commentary.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think as long as you don't go into it being too serious, I think it would gain a better effect.
Yeah.
That being said, I tried to watch it again because I try and watch the movies that we cover at least twice, right?
Yeah.
So I can kind of like, especially if I haven't seen them before.
Yeah, same here. Because like we watch it together and then we have our chucks and
exactly.
Then we go and watch it and take notes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, I just know that those two times that I started it, I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Like I remember starting it and then I was just like,
yeah,
it's just kind of insufferable. And it's probably because I tried to watch it by myself. I couldn't shit on it with another person, right?
Like, yeah. I got 7.5 minutes into it today and was like, yeah, it's just not for me today.
And another thing.
Yeah.
I got shit to do. Well, all right. That wraps it up for Caveat.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about what doing?
There have been a few things that have happened since we last recorded. Finished Butcher's Crossing by John Williams. That was an incredible book.
Fuck yeah.
Anything John Williams at this point, I'm like, yep, he's the GOAT.
Right.
Him and Steinbeck, they're the ones. But more important than the books is over this last weekend, we celebrated Nick's 30th birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like 30 is one of those one of those birthdays that's kind of like a, it's a landmark.
It's a milestone.
Yeah,
birthday.
It's a big milestone. It's a landmark. It's like kind of the first birthday where you feel like you're kind of leaving your youth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, now I'm actually an adult, because everybody knows that your 20s are just your extended teens. Like, it's,
yeah. Yeah. It's the time to make mistakes, the decade of making mistakes and like figuring out who you are. Like,
yeah.
I remember when Thompson turned 30 and we were all hanging out and he was like, I don't feel like I'm 30. Like, I've had people ask me, like, do you feel older or whatever? And I told him, I was like, I don't really feel like I'm that mature, right?
Yeah.
Until I go and I talk to an 18-year-old.
Yep.
You talk to a 19-year-old, you hear about their problems and what they're like really focused on and what they're anxious about. And you're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when those problems were really monumental to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had a lot of really good conversations about it. And like the biggest change for me when I turned 30 was like, I woke up on my 30th birthday and was like, wow, I really like birds.
Yeah.
I was not a bird person at all prior to that.
Before then.
And then I'm just like, wow, they're really fucking cool. But like, other than that, I told him that you start to feel really different within like the next couple of years. And it's not necessarily that like your body feels different, even though it does.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that like your mind feels like it does a drastic shift.
Yeah.
It's like, for me at least, I feel like I know and love who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And in my 20s, it was a lot of trying to figure that out. Granted, I was also in a relationship that wasn't working for me for all of my 20s.
Sure.
But I am like, yeah, I know who I am. I like who I am. I'm confident in who I am. And I'm going to continue to be that person.
Yeah.
And now it's figuring out the other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't just like a, oh shit, I'm 30. Now life's together.
Yeah,
it,
right?
Yeah, oh, it's, yeah, it still takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I finally evolved into an adult. I went from like the first generation of Pokemon to the second.
Yeah. And the 30s are the fucking shit so far.
I've been liking it.
I love this decade.
I've been liking it. Yeah, because I agree with you. I feel like there is a bit of an identity crisis that you have in the first decade. And even into your teens, too, of you just like constantly asking yourself, like, who am I? And I feel like after 30, a lot of the background noise falls off.
Yeah.
And you start thinking to yourself, like, you start wanting to be more of the qualities that you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
And you start cutting out and cutting back the things that you don't want to see in the world, right? People that do the work, right? That they don't mm-hmm. just lean into toxic behaviors or in coping mechanisms. They come out the other side like this more healed version of themselves and this more confident version of themselves.
Yeah.
And then when there's outside people that are like, oh my God, you're so different, or I don't like this version of you. It's like you don't care about those opinions as much anymore.
No. Then you get to adopt my literal favorite mantra, which is, what other people think of me is not my business.
It's not your business. Yeah. I've also heard from a friend of mine, like, if I'm too much for you, my personality is too much or my behavior or whatever, go find less.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's, I'm really excited to see what Nick does with this decade, because mm-hmm. I think he already had a lot of that in him, where he is unabashedly himself. And
yes.
Like, he doesn't really care how people feel about that. Mm-hmm. And he is all of the good qualities that he likes. And I'm excited to see him carry into this decade without having to shed those layers like I felt like I had to.
Definitely.
He's going into it with a much more level head than I did. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit, 30, that's gay death. Everything is downhill from here. And like, I was really nervous about it. And I think, though, in a way, that does make me appreciate it more now.
Definitely.
Because I'm like, I thought this was going to suck, and this actually rocks.
You're just like, actually,
yeah, fuck with this is actually cool as hell. So that was the big thing that happened over the last 2 weeks. We, on Friday, went out and got drinks, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Saturday, went out and got some drinks with a bunch of his coworkers. And then Sunday, for the most part, was just kind of like lazy around the house.
Chill.
Monday, went and wandered around Hawthorne for a little while. And then on Tuesday, which was the actual day of his birthday, we went out to the river for the day and then stopped at Bamboo and got sushi. And that was the weekend.
Man, I have not had Bamboo in a minute. Get some of that.
Oh yeah, it was really good. We got a different appetizer than we normally do, so we didn't get spicy edamame, but we got the roasted maitake mushroom.
Ooh.
And it has I think it's a miso wakame butter on it, and it is
fucking to die for.
Fire.
Fuck me. Yeah. That sounds so good.
So good.
Dude, I had their shishito peppers one day. Their shishito peppers are good.
They're really good. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anything there that I don't like.
I know. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to take Harrison. We still haven't figured out what to do for my birthday, so.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. What'd you do? What you been doing?
I feel like the week before last, I was just doing a lot of working. Like and it was kind of hot that week. So like we kind of had some hot and cold days. And hot and cold meaning like most of the time it was dead in the shop. Like there were just not a lot of people out. And then we ended up having that dog show rescheduled. We were like going to sponsor the bar next door. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that at the end of this month. So other than that, I think I only have two stories to share. This last weekend, our climbing crew actually all went camping.
Sick.
And that was really cute, actually. We got three camping sites all right next to each other. Like two of them were right next to each other, and then one was like right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Paradise Point in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And it was myself and Harrison and Echo and Owen and Argo. It was Zach and Eve and Luke. Pavel and Stevie, they didn't bring their son Dean, and Elliot and their partner Kenzie.
Sick.
And I think that's everybody that showed up. Becky couldn't make it. Jacob and Avery couldn't make it. Jacob did come the second night on Saturday, and he stayed through Sunday. We all left Sunday at around 1. But it was really cool. Like, it was really fun. Like, a couple of weeks before we left, we all collaborated on a Google Sheet. So, like, everybody took cooking and cleaning shifts. So it was all kind of like we all got to try new recipes on each other, and like we all had meals together. So that was really cute. I love our rock climbing group. There was a lot of times where you're just kind of sitting down talking, which is not like Harrison's favorite thing to do, so we made sure to bring like a lot of stuff, like a lot of like individual crafts to do. So they like I brought Everybody, I think everybody brought a book. Like the rest of our climbing crew is all in a book club together, so they all did like a book club meeting like during camping. Harrison brought a sketchbook and did some sketching. I brought a ritual that I'll talk about for Avery, who's been sick. But I also brought I have a recipe book, but it's just a bunch of loose paper, like recipes that are written on it. And so I'm trying to transcribe all of it into a little leather bound journal.
Oh, okay.
And so I did a lot of that over the weekend, just like transcribing the recipes and then like throwing the pages away.
Yeah.
So that was super cathartic. And it was kind of fun to like go back through my recipes and be like, oh fuck, I gotta make this again.
Remind you like, oh, that shit slapped. I gotta do that as soon as we get home.
Right. I loved being around the campfire, and we didn't have a campfire, but like around the circle that we were all talking at. Because both Elliot and Kenzie are hard of hearing. And so they use a lot of sign language to communicate. And I am all in with learning sign language. Yeah. So I'm like constantly asking them questions. I hope to God I'm not annoying them about different signs, because like I really want to learn it. And so that was really fun. I think the highlight of my time there is that I got to feel little baby in Eve's belly. On Sunday morning, we were waiting for everybody to wake up. And we were like getting coffee and just hanging out. And Eve came and sat down next to me and was like, I think you can feel Fred right now, like if you want to. And I was like, can I? They're like, yeah. And I was like, I was all in. I was like, oh, sick.
Yeah.
So that was super cool. I don't think I've ever felt a baby inside of a pregnant woman's belly before.
It's strange.
Yeah, it is super strange. I can't imagine what it feels like from the inside, and I never want to.
Nope.
But it was really cute to be like, oh my God, that's actually really cool.
Yeah. No matter what, whenever I've like watched it happen, and I've felt people's stomachs while it's happening and all that kind of stuff. It just always reminds me of Alien. And I'm like, nope, get it out.
No,
get it out. That is a parasite. Get it out.
I remember working, this is a tangent, but working at A&W with a woman who she's pregnant with twins, and like, oh my God, she looked so uncomfortable by the end, like of just like all of the movement. Like I just couldn't imagine. Like
There was one lady who was coming into my work when we very first opened. She's like probably my age. But she was very pregnant, and I'm like, she's got to be having like triplets or something like that. Like she was already a small person, and her stomach had just ballooned. I could almost guarantee that she was gonna have triplets. And I'm like, if it's not, it's got to be like a 48-pound baby. Oh my God. Like she is giving pregnant. She's giving birth to like dumbbells.
Damn. Like maybe she was just carrying super low. Was she only carrying one?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, that thing had to have been like a fucking bumper plate from a barbell.
Damn.
Yeah. But no, it was just like a normal size baby. She just went right back to normal. Oh. And I'm like,
some people are like that, man. Fuck? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like that's just super women. Like,
but it looked like she could not be more miserable. And she was going on walks all the time. My thought process is just start doing jumping jacks.
Oh my
like,
God,
get that thing out.
Torque. Yeah. Anything possible.
Yeah. Have somebody pick you up and shake you. Like,
something, right? Yeah. Get on one of those little machines that just like shakes you back and forth.
Yeah.
Little fat busters.
Yeah. I can hide around a corner and scare you. Will that help?
Yeah. Will like, that help? Yeah. The last thing I was going to tell you, this is just a funny story. Like, I just thought you'd find this story really funny.
Yeah.
It happened last night, actually. I came home and I was like, Harrison, do you want hot wings? I don't really want to cook. And he's like, yeah, sounds good. And so I went to go pick them up and I got there early because I always get there early just so that I can pay for it and pick it up when it's fresh. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was on a call with my friends, Magic and Cassie, because it was Cassie's birthday yesterday. It was Magic's birthday on Tuesday.
Happy birthday to both of them.
Yeah. So we were chatting. Right. And I was like, I'm going to go pay for my food. And they're like, sounds good. And so I walk into the restaurant. It's at Fire on the Mountain. And I walk up and they're like, hey, what's your order? And I was like, my name's Karina, but I'm just here to pay for it. And they say, okay. And they check me out. And they get the ticket done. They said, they're wrapping it up pretty quickly. So like, you just go have a seat on the bench and they'll come grab you when it's done. And I was like, cool. Sounds good. I go and I sit down and I sit there and I chat for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes goes by. And I kind of look at my watch. I'm like, shit. Did they just leave it on the ready counter and just nobody texted me? Like that's happened before.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of got up and I kind of stood at the end of the stool rather than sitting at it. And I had three different people walk up to me to verify my identity. And every time I was like, have you paid yet? Yeah, yeah, my name's Karina. Okay, I'll go check on your order. And they would like go in the back and then I wouldn't hear from them again.
Yeah, and then they would just hop into the void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the third person that came up to me, I got approached by two different managers. Ask me the same question. What's your name? Oh, I'll go check in your order. And the second manager, when he walked up to me, he was like, oh, ma'am, have you been helped yet? And I was like, no, I haven't been. But I've already paid. I'm just waiting for my order. My name's Karina. And he's like, oh, okay. And he goes and he walks back and he makes eye contact with the other manager that came and talked to me. And they just look like, fuck. Fuck, what are we going to do? Right?
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, what happened? Did they forget? Like, did they just forget to do our order? Right?
Yeah.
And so I just keep standing there and then like a minute goes by and that manager comes back and he was like, I am so sorry. We're just like super backed up right now. And like your order should be done momentarily. I'm really sorry. Like, do you want a soda or anything? And I was like, no, I'm good. And he's like, just go have a seat. Like it'll be done any minute. And I was like, no problem. And I go and I sit down and 3 minutes goes by, 2-3 minutes goes by and I get a text message that it's done. And I was like, sick. So I get up, I'm on the phone the whole time. Like my friends are like, bitch, like, where's your food at? Like, you've been fucking waiting there for a long time. And I go up and I put myself on mute and I go up and the first manager again, he comes up to me and he's like, I am so sorry that this happened. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm so sorry that this happened. Like, please come back. Like, we really want you to come back. Here are some gift cards. And I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. No, please. Like, I have to do that. He gave me like $20 in gift cards because I'm so sorry that this happened. Like, I hope you have a good night. And I was like, that sounds great. Like, no worries. Thank you. And he's like, yeah. This guy's gonna, he's got your order right now. He's just putting it together. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And when that second guy came up and handed me the bag, he was like, I'm so sorry that like that happened today. Just so you know, when I was bagging up your food, there were some extra fries like in the fry bin. So I just put them in your bag. And I was like, awesome. Sounds great. Have a good night.
But you don't know what happened?
I have no idea what fucking happened.
Is this the fucking podcast of loose ends?
It's so fucking funny. I left them a tip, you know, and I like left. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I got in the car and told Cassie and Jessica this story. And they were like, maybe they forgot. Maybe they dropped it on the floor. Or maybe like just something happened.
Yeah.
And they just didn't want to tell me what it was. And I talked to Owen because Owen's worked at Fire on the Mountain before. And so I was like, Owen, you got to hear this story. It's super funny. And he was like, oh, you know what I think happened? I think somebody gave your food away. Like somebody else came up and they were like, hey, I'm here for so-and-so. And they're like, oh, okay. And they just
Yeah.
And I was like, if that happened, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
I could tell that they felt so bad though.
Oh, but hey. You got free Fire on the Mountain.
I got fucking $20 off my next Fire on the Mountain order.
So. And fucking straggler fries.
And straggler fries, which yeah, you know,
which
they
are the best fries.
They were the best fries. Yeah. I mean, they weren't. They were very cold, but that's okay.
Yeah, but well, they were free.
Yeah, they were free. They were free fries.
Yeah, my favorite price for fries is free.
It's free. Yeah, free 99. Yeah. Come on. So yeah, they were good. They were good wings.
And what an appropriate story for this episode, because we don't know what happened.
That's why I thought it would be appropriate. Yeah. Like, I thought it would be great to end on, because like, just what the fuck.
Yeah, and you know what, instead of saying goodnight, I'm gonna say what the fuck.
What the fuck. It's always spooky.